And God broke into Sandra's life. Well, she can tell her own story, but met her in a bar in Vancouver when I had left her. Empty and thinking, well, I made a mistake. I should go seek out other things. And then she let me back into her life when she called me and told me that she had given her life to Jesus. And I thought, yeah, you need that. You need a crutch like that. That's exactly what I thought. And 11 months later, I came to Jesus in a living room. Not in a church service. Not at an altar call. Because we know God is everywhere, isn't he? There's no place he is not. And so we've stumbled through leadership for, we're in year 39. We're still stumbling through it because that's the truth, isn't it? Am I holding this right? Oh, everybody brings me water. Thank you. And we remember the beginnings of our faith and trying to stumble into and step into what it means to know Jesus, to grow and let him shape us and learn head, heart, and all that stuff. And I just got to share this one story. Here we were in the middle of college, married. Our third was born in college. I was a mature student. That was a relative term. I get that. But some friends of ours had this Volkswagen Rabbit. Now, that's a Golf now. And they had to move away. He was a pilot. He had to move to Hawaii to fly out of Hawaii anyway. And they just loved us. And they had this car they couldn't take with them. And so we made this crazy deal to pay them somehow on the corner of some within the next so many years. It was just absurd. It was one of those. And then here we are in the middle of college. Poor, just struggling to get through, and we get this letter from them, and Bob had done a little Greek study. I love Greek now. Maybe it provoked me, but they sent a letter about the car, and it said in the Greek language teleo, which is the verb where we get our word telescope, and it literally translates, I bring to an end. Well, it was a gift. And I remember that because that was one of the most amazing, significant, groundbreaking experiences where God would break in such a strong way and say, I will look after you. Now, the reason I share that is because I'm going to go somewhere with that. Remembering in a biblical way is remembering and remembering. And when those things break into our lives, they pierce in and, in a sense, wreck us. And we remember things like that. Strongly and actually things like that. It holds us very strongly and actually it does another work in us. It humbles us, hopefully. Hopefully. And when we forget that stuff where he's shown himself to us, has he shown himself to you? Do you remember those times? Do you not forget them? Does God bring them up in your remembrance sometimes and remind you? And don't you in the moment say, oh, Father, that was you, and you did it, and it was a broke into your life and said, you're okay with me. You're good with me. So let's go somewhere for the body of Christ. I want to first ask a question. Who loves being with people who think and value the same way? Okay, yeah, right? Like, that's not a trick question. It is our human nature. Hey? Now, who enjoys being with people who don't think the same way as you and don't value the same way as you? Lift your hands. Anyway, okay. And sometimes, actually, when you get down to it happening, it's baloney. Because in the moments, we fail there. And so, look at the church. Look at the body of Christ. Look at how different we are. Have you ever been in a bad place with one of your brothers or sisters in this room? Yeah, okay. Okay. No honest person here. Yeah, right. Okay, so don't we stumble through this? Come on. Like our spouses, our kids, our friends, the people in our church family. Isn't that our experience? Come on. That's the truth. But what we do with it, boy, we do some stupid things with it. I'm helping transitional church work right now. This is the seventh church I've kind of helped with. Did a bunch while I was developing the work on the campus, the university. Underlying everything all the time is people who forget. Who forget the grace of God. Who forget the goodness of God. Who forget what God has done and can do if his people would get our acts together a little bit better in some of the other areas. Okay? There's stuff that we do that we're responsible for. And I'm not saying it's easy, but we're supposed to try our best to step into that water and stumble through it. And you realize that some of the things where churches just fall apart or disintegrate or blow apart or whatever, it's so complicated, you can't just pin it in one place. But boy, we've done some messy things. And then God's just waiting for us to say, Oh, Father, help us. Oh, Father, we want your power to be evident among us. Help us, please. And that's what I wanted to touch into in a little bit here. So anyway, do we have a wagon wheel up there? Good. Who remembers wagon wheels? You know, I've only remembered them in the movies and those little chocolate things we used to eat when I was a kid. But anyway, see the spokes? Now think of it this way. This is the church. It's a picture of the church. The center is who? Yes, the Sunday school answer is correct. Yes. And then on the outside, the perimeter of that wheel is the thing that holds that unit together, Holy Spirit, who lives in us. And all of those spokes represent the diversity, the genuine reality of the diversity, the differences that we have in us with each other. And you can look at the idea of, quote, ministries or focus places of, you know, service in the kingdom of God. And in a local church, you can look at the worship band. That was wonderful. Wow, that was so good. I loved it. Prayer, discipleship, youth, children, seniors. Yeah, I'm getting that now. Outreach, the pulpit. So there's such diversity in it. And those are those spokes. Well, here's the catch. Here's the catch. If you can see this picture. So Jesus is the center, and I'm focused around that issue, that area of ministry. That is my passion, my wheelhouse, the stuff that drives me, stuff that cranks me, stuff God's made me for. And then there's that, and then there's that, and then there's that, then there's that. And the touchy thing is we can actually, paradoxically, as we get too focused on the stuff we are wrapped around, that we're made for, that we're wired around, we can get further from each other. Do you see the wheel? And we can get further from Jesus. Do you see that center? And that is the tough thing in the body of Christ, the church. Boy, we can be messy. And so, what is God trying to say to us? He's trying to say, you keep Jesus as the center, and you will not easily run away from each other and get distant from each other and get divided and factions. I'm about this, I'm about this, I'm about this, I'm about this. People who think and value differently than you do. So, where are you inside? What things grab you? And understanding that the same things don't necessarily drive everyone else. And so, what do we do to be your people together? How do we walk together? How do we be a powerful people of God in our context, in Trail and in this valley? How do we do that, God? Because I'm made for this, and I'm made for this, and I'm made for this. See the picture? That's the wheel. One of my mentors, Pastor Ray, retired. He's the one that gave me that illustration. Boy, it was like, wow, thank you, Ray. So the background, we're in Ephesians 3, and I'm going to just slowly tinker through this, and I didn't put the text up. I just want to leave that wheel up there for a picture. But in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul basically, the background is, he's saying, there was this mystery kept hidden for the ages. This is in chapter 3 of Ephesians, the first 13 verses. This mystery, the gospel, the good news, was kept hidden until now. And he showed himself to me, and he, by his grace, called me to proclaim the gospel to the people who weren't Jewish, to the Gentiles. The word in the Greek is ethne, the ethnicity groups. And Paul goes on and says, I'm the least. He says, I'm the least among all of the people of God. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. He's saying that. And then he says, so this takes me to a place. And that's what I'm talking about in this wheel picture and the picture of that, the gift, how God showed up and did something powerful, showed himself to you, and we can forget. So he goes here in verse 14. He says, for this reason, for everything, that background, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Do you remember when he broke into your life? Were you raised in the church? That's okay. It's okay to be raised in the church. We don't want our kids to have a testimony like that, you know. You know, if you were raised in the church, truth is, somewhere in there, somewhere in your life, it became yours. Your faith became yours, and you owned it, and it took on a life that was different than when you were six. Somewhere in there, it became yours, hopefully. And now you're alive in Christ, and now you're responsible. And if you weren't raised in the church and God broke into your life, outside of being a churched person, same thing. It's yours now. And something happened inside of Paul. He said, all I can do is, when I think of this and when I remember this, all I can do is fall to my knees. And that's a pretty good place to be. I know I'm not talking about you have to do this in the floor right now. I'm just saying, he's just saying, all I can do is, I'm the least among all the saints. That was in verse 8. And it just humbles me. It just breaks me. It just makes me soft. Doesn't mean I can't be strong, but it just softens me. It pierces my heart. And look what he says to follow. from whom, follow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I'm not alone. There are other people involved in this. My salvation and my knowledge of Christ is not just for me. It's for other people too. And that he would grant you, and now he's kind of praying, God, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. He's talking about there's real stuff that goes on here. It's an inside thing. You didn't just join a church. You don't just go through a bunch of religious liturgy and rituals every Sunday and say, I did my thing and I went to church. It's nothing like that. We know that. There's something real and alive inside of us. So where are you? There. Because if that truly is alive, you will be very alive. And you won't be religious. You will not be just a religious church person. There will be something alive inside that drives you, that presses you, that tells you, I have to love my brother and my sister, and I have to reach out, and I have to love my neighbor. Oh God, how can I do that? It's so hard. I don't like people who don't think like me and value like me. And so in the church, this is a very powerful place to become fully aware, because look where Paul goes. I want you to be strengthened with power in your inner being so that, verse 12, so 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, that you may be lifted up in all the fullness of God. Well, like it's a big mouthful, but it kind of breaks down like this. The good news, the gospel, when you met it and God broke into your life and showed himself to you, something humbled you. Something flattened you, because I think the gospel is unreasonable. It's absurd. It's not a plan we would any of us would design as a human being. And it's the mystery that he was talking about, the first piece in Ephesians 3. It's the mystery that was kept hidden and now is shown. And God has broken in and said, hey, there's nothing you can do to be good with me. You'll never earn it. All you can do is say, thank you. And so, remember when he showed himself to you? Maybe you were at a camp, kids camp, or I don't know, kids camp, an adult camp. I don't know, wherever it was. Remember? Don't forget that. Don't ever forget that, and don't ever forget that. Because in that moment, do you remember praying and saying, God, Jesus, I give my life to you. Jesus, I invite you into my life. I don't know what you say, the sinner's prayer, or however you shaped it, and you invited Jesus in. Do you remember what happened to you? Were you humbled? Were you softened? Did you weep? Were you broken? Any of those things. Wasn't that our experience? We didn't just join a religious club. Something very real happened. And so, he says, I want you to understand that when I broke into your life and put Holy Spirit inside of you, it was a gift. And if you don't forget that, something softening will happen inside of you, and it will be so humbling, you will want to share him with other people. And you won't want to convert people with religious dogma. You know the line that dogma is a man's best friend? And truth matters. Please don't misunderstand me. It matters. Theology matters. But there will be something else, and it's alive, and it's real. You remember, don't you? Keep going back there. Keep going back there. And so he says this, that Christ may live in us, take up residence. The word's oikos, it means house in the Greek. It's not just a yogurt. It means house. Oikos. He'll live in you. And then when he lives in you, we can be rooted and grounded in love. Do you remember when he told you he loves you without condition? And that's how you came into the kingdom of God? And that's our rooting and our grounding. It's the color of the lenses that are supposed to shape and express themselves in us and through us. It just keeps going like that. And so he says these things. When you're rooted and grounded in love, it produces something in people. Loving people. If you're rooted and grounded in love, you'll be loving people. If you're not rooted and grounded in love, you won't be loving people. If you're not loving people, you're not rooted and grounded in love. You see that? Because that's the soil you're in. It's what grows you. It's what feeds you. It's how you are. And so this is just a calling to that. And Paul is just saying, please grasp that again. And people understand with head and heart the crazy love of God. He says it surpasses understanding. And the picture is, no kidding, it's a ball. The picture is, it's someone who throws a ball far past normal where you can't see the thing. That's the picture in the Greek language. It's a big throw. And then he says, this love in Christ has breadth. And the word is platos. It's where we get our word plateau. Everybody on a plateau? Up high. It's elevated and it's flat and you can see a long ways. And he's saying the love of God is very high and it's large and it's expansive and you cannot see where it ends. And then he says it has length. And that's a measure, mekros. And he's saying it can be measured. Something real shows in us. It shows up and people see it and can sense something. That's what he's saying. If we're rooted and grounded in love, it comes up like that. And then he says it has height. And it's literally, upsos is the word. It's like it's as high as the heavens. The love of God is as high as the heavens, to give us this picture. It's an eternity kind of a picture. And then it says it has depth. And the word is bathos. It's where we get our word bath. Take a bath. That's the picture. It has depth. And it's kind of like saying to someone, come on in, the water is fine. And when we destroy each other because we've gotten apart from each other like that on the perimeter, because I'm about this and I'm about and that kind of thing, we destroy that. We're not rooted and grounded in love because we're not centered in the center with Jesus. And people look and say, man, I don't want to join that fray. Look what they do to each other. See the picture? For the body of Christ, for the church. It's for us, oh God. Oh Father, help us to be like this. So the key is, 20 and 21, it's a doxology. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And this is like a doxology. He closes that and says, when we are centered on Jesus, we are in unity. When we are not in unity, we are actually not centered in Jesus, is the picture. And then he says, when we are centered on Jesus, he works his power in and through us and among us. That was wonderful singing and worship. And in those moments where the giftedness of the worship leaders, they help us walk in and step into that. Step into the presence of God and awareness of God. And it's absolutely wonderful. And he's saying, if you stay there and not just do it Sunday for a half an hour or 45 minutes, if you kind of stay in that, you're going to have his power working inside of you. Would you like his power to be a working inside of you? Not just here for a two-hour block on a Sunday morning, but outside of these walls, at your workplace, and where you cut your hair, get your hair cut, and where, just everywhere. Because God's at work everywhere. Look at that. So, God, help me to be rooted and grounded in your love, because I want your power to work in and through me. I want to be alive that way somehow. And it doesn't mean you steamroller people and, you know, run them down and push them over or manipulate and coerce them into gospel talk. It doesn't mean that, but it means there's something very alive and powerful. And you can hear from Holy Spirit as he's leading you into the lives of other people. Ain't just your preacher is going to reach people. You're going to pray with people outside of these walls, like I told you, Sandra and myself. Not in a church building, because you're the church. And the church is supposed to be everywhere. Let's go through the whole painting. If we're the color red, we got red all through the painting, not just hidden in a little corner up on the side, hoping people will come in. That's not how it goes. And and when we are centered on Jesus, he is given glory. No person. No personality. We don't rely on any leader's personality. We rely on Jesus. Jesus, I want you to be alive in me, please. I want you to lead me. I want you to show yourself to me. I want your power to be at work within me, because I want to be your people. And I want to love those in my church family. And I want to love those outside of our walls. Oh, Father, help me. This is what I want. I want to be rooted and grounded in your love, God. Let it color me, please. Remember that song by Hillsong? Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me to the cross. I think God's looking for a church like that. And we're going to stumble forward, please, together somehow. And we're going to have communion now together and lay some of these things down and say, oh, Father, would you do this? Would you do this? That's revival. That's revival. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Sean. Come prepare for the Lord's table. Yes.
As the emblems are being handed out this morning, to be in a place in our hearts, pondering what Matt brought this morning. Asking the Lord to search in your heart. Maybe the things that you have picked up and grabbed onto that has caused distance. Distance between you and Jesus, distance between you and someone else. And this morning, I'm going to take some time shortly. I'm going to read, I think Matt may read some scripture. This is a little different this morning. But sometimes when we always do the same thing the same way all the time, we can become familiar with it. And it's important this morning, again, to allow the Lord to actually speak in our hearts, to remember when we came to him, to remember the grace and the love that we felt, how it changed us. And in that process, when our hearts were changed, when our lives changed, that we're able to actually have a deeper glimpse this morning of what the cross is, who Jesus is. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Sometimes it can become easy to just do things. Even when we do communion, we just do it. We just take it. But this morning, as we remember and reflect on the sacrifice of Jesus, as we remember and reflect on the changes that have occurred in our lives, that we take a moment and we also think through maybe where there's been strain in relationships, or maybe we've been offended or hurt, and we have to take this opportunity just to say, "Jesus, that hurt me. I release them." Just even in your mind as you pray, as you reflect. Again, understanding that we are a body. And that what Matt brought this morning is reflective of the body of Christ. Everywhere. The struggle to be united, because we get off center sometimes. Can have everybody just close your eyes. Father, I thank you. Thank you that you rescued us. Thank you that you have redeemed us. That you saved us out of the sin and the muck of our lives, and you set our feet on solid ground, on a solid rock. Lord, we thank you that you are the one who, in the midst of chaos, even in our own lives now, that you are the one who has rescued us. Father, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for community. Lord, as we reflect now that you would bring to mind where you've intervened, where you, in that Kairos moment, have stepped in and broken through and changed our hearts and circumstances. Or that you would remind us as we look back where we can see that you were with us even if in the moment we felt alone. Father, as we partake of your body and your blood, that we would remember that without it, we would be lost. That you have given us new life. That you've given us new relationships. That you've given us reconciliation. Father, as we partake today, that it wouldn't just be about this morning, but that it would start something new. In Jesus' name, let's partake together.
Just wanted to take a time to just do something as an exercise together. Just lift your hand if you're trying to give something to God. I got to do that all the time. Oh, every day. My goodness. But this morning, trying to give something to God, so you can walk better in the kingdom of God. Father, we want to hear what the Spirit's saying of the church. We want to be your people. We want to be strong in you. We want your power to work in and through us. So first we lay down some of these things that are in our minds and our hearts that you've kind of provoked and stimulated inside of us. We lay them down to you, and Father, help us to not pick them up again and cling to them, and help us to walk out of these doors with an internal conviction of a passion for unity in you, to be a church centered properly, and to lay down the things that separate us and to put them in perspective and understand that it's how it is in the kingdom of God. So we just lay all these things before you, Father. And we just thank you that you love us. Oh, like a parent when their kid's riding the bike and trainer wheel. Sometimes, God, we keep slapping the back on. And so we give you ourselves for the rest of this day and the rest of the week. And we just pray that we would please you and that you would open doors for us to know and love each other better and to know and love those who are not yet in Christ. And give us wisdom as we build bridges into so many lives, as many as you would give us and lead us into. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
Can we have the worship team come, please? In a moment, I'll let Brendan share. I just want to encourage you to stand. If you're able. We came in with song. We will go out with song. Being able to express from our hearts what God has been doing. That, again, as the altars are always open, if you would like prayer, you can come for prayer. But don't just rush out. Allow the Lord to seal what has been going on here this morning.
Thanks. I just felt the Holy Spirit put something in my heart, and I know God's speaking to me when my heart starts to race. And then it's where God's way of saying to me, you know, you better go up and share what I'm telling you here, or you're just going to walk out and miss an opportunity. just from what Matt shared and just like looking at that wheel, I just felt God put in my heart. It's a well-known scripture. It's Psalms 133. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like precious oil on the head, running down on the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing and life forevermore. And last week I was praying for somebody after the service, and I said to them, I feel like the oil that God is pouring on your head is so thick right now. It's almost like honey. It's just like sticking to you. It's so rich. And he responded to me and said, yeah, I've just been in such sweet moments of God's presence. And I just felt like it was a really well-timed word. Matt, thank you. And I just feel that God is going to bless our unity as we stand strong, as we can function as a wheel. Then God can take us places, and he's going to pour his blessing and his oil upon us as a house. That's what I felt he's going to say.
Thank you. May the Lord bless you and keep you, that he would make his face shine upon you, that he would give you his peace, and that as you go this week, you would be reminded of the grace in your life, the grace of God, his goodness, and his love, because you are his.